Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Are you ready for an AFC East showdown, King?
Yes! Yes, I am. I've been ready a long time for this showdown. In fact, it was almost less of a showdown. It was almost even a little bit less.
Probably
watching the game yesterday.
Much of a showdown if Joe Burrow could stop throwing to the Bills.
Just throw it to the Bengals. You know what it was? The Bengals were wearing white. It was a snow game.
They blended in.
That's tough.
They blended in a little too much.
As somebody with bad eyesight, I can kind of relate. Maybe Burrow wasn't exactly sure what was going on.
You'd think he'd see the Bills, though.
Yeah, no, they should stand out. He threw it right to those guys a few times.
You think he'd see their uniforms?
Yeah, no, you got to wonder about shaving points, and you hate to throw around those kind of accusations.
I mean, in this current climate,
I'm saying, Jones,
you kind of have to. Yeah,
you got
to
go into this thing eyes wide open, and the Bengals were cruising, and then they weren't. And you're like, what happened there? They had that game won.
It is true. However, it does raise the stakes for Sunday. Pats and Bills in Foxborough. Patriots waiting, coming off the bye at home. Hat and t-shirt game, a championship-level game, as Mike Vrabel referred to it this morning. It's Patriots Monday. Jones and Keefe, we are here talking with you all day long. 617-779-7937. You can jump in line there. Interact Twitter and Instagram at Jones and Keefe. You can watch along and chat. Twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Always, and I mean always, a healthy chat going on Twitch. Do the same on YouTube. You can watch there. You can chat there. Just subscribe to WEEI. We'll take a full spin around the NFL with what happened coming up at 11:30. Recap of Week 14. Otherwise, wide open for you to talk about some of these games yesterday, including Bills and Bengals and the stakes now for the Pats this Sunday. It is a massive, massive game for the Patriots. It's even bigger for Buffalo on the other side. The Pats do, and we can get into this, have some wiggle room. Even if they lose this game, they still will be in the driver's seat to win the division. Losing to Buffalo, in other words, won't completely flip things. Their hopes of winning the division won't be gone. But this is a chance to step on their throats, really end their season when it comes to winning the division, and put the Bills in the rearview mirror and focus on that top seed in the AFC.
Yeah, it is right there. And who'd have thought that, you know, at this point going into the year that you'd be talking about the Patriots maybe splitting with the Bills and still being a game up on them, right? Like, it's not even like, oh, you had to beat both games and then you're tied and whatever else, and now you have that tiebreaker. It's like, no, the Patriots really control this whole thing. And to your point, they can even trip up. They could trip up in this game. And yeah, it'd be frustrating, it'd be disappointing. They got a long winning streak going on right now. And it also, as an aside, doesn't seem like the Bills are that great. You know, they're good. Like, I think it goes down as like a quality win, right? When we were doing that exercise on like what teams in the league are good. I'm not saying great, just like what teams are good. The Bills still are good. They still have Josh Allen. But they're certainly not this world-beating team or even a team that you look at as significantly better than the Patriots. I think the opening line is like Bills maybe by like a point and a half.
Ooh,
did you see that? I'm pretty sure it is.
Again, that's what I saw last night. Let me check.
So just sort of, and the game's in New England. So I, you know, Vegas is telling you neutral site. They would still give the nod, the slight nod to the Bills, but pretty amazing how things have changed in just a few short months. But yeah, with the win on Sunday, that's it. They could wrap up the division with 3 weeks to go, which is also wild.
Pats are point and a half dogs on FanDuel. Yeah. They are plus 100 on the money line.
All right.
high over under 49.5.
Ooh, I like that. Points.
So I like that a lot, too.
A little sprinkle on the money line, maybe?
Maybe. Yeah. It's plus money right now. We'll see where that goes throughout the course of the week. Dan Graziano wrote about this at ESPN. He asked the question every week, is it an overreaction or not? Bills and Patriots will decide the AFC East. He calls that an overreaction. He says, not to spoil the excitement with math, but the tiebreakers really favor the Patriots here, even if Buffalo goes in and wins in New England next week. If they're tied head-to-head, Buffalo wins.
Yeah.
Your next tiebreaker would go to the division. Pats are 3-1 in the division. Buffalo's 3-2. That's with a loss, by the way, factoring in a loss to Buffalo.
Right.
That's where it would be. Patriots would have to lose another game to either Miami or the Jets for that one to come into play. But let's say it does. They're both somehow 4-2 at the end of the year. It comes down to common opponent. Pats probably still need to lose another game on top of that.
Well, we gave them the division weeks ago,
so
we're not wrong.
The division should be done. But that doesn't mean you can't find things out about the Patriots, and I agree with what you said. If they lose, they might still win the division. If they win, you stepped on their throats and really ended Buffalo's any hope of death-rattling their way into winning the AFC East. But it would make you relook at the rest of the AFC. Denver's that much harder to catch if you lose this game to Buffalo. You know, the Bills are that much closer to you. Maybe you throttle back a little bit from the championship aspirations that Vrabel was talking about this morning, that we've been talking about now for weeks and weeks. And I think that would really be more the stakes. Not necessarily the division.
Yeah,
you'd
still
be in a good spot for that. But just how you're viewed and maybe how you view yourselves against some of these other top AFC teams, that's really what's at stake. Shutting up the Cam Newtons of the world and stuff like that.
Well, I also think it's keeping pace with Denver, not just for like these power rankings or whatever. It's for the number one seed. Like, who's going to get the one first round bye in the playoffs? And, you know, it is on the one hand kind of wild that they're in a spot now where you're like, yeah, the division. Yeah, we got it. Like, this team was so bad the last couple of years, and now we're kind of like skipping past the fact that they're, in all likelihood, barring some drastic letdown, going to win the division. But they also have the number one overall seed right there in their grasp. And that's why, you know, a loss on Sunday would really knock them down there, because they don't have the tiebreaker with Denver. So now when you start to size up, all right, each team has four games left. They have the same record right now. Denver does have a couple of tough games, but they're 11-2, just like the Patriots are. So if you fall to 11-3 and you have to be one game better than them, right, like let's say they both go 3-1 down the rest of the stretch. Well, then Pats are probably the 2 seed.
Yeah,
you know, if they both go 4-0, like they're the 2 seed. So I'm looking at this like, yeah, you want to beat Buffalo. What a message that sends to the whole league if you sweep Buffalo in the regular season. But you got to keep pace with the Denver Broncos right now.
So Denver lost yesterday. That was kind of their gimme game remaining. What's left now for Denver? Home against Green Bay. Home against Jacksonville, who won again yesterday.
No, Denver didn't lose. What did you say?
No, I'm saying that you weren't going to expect.
Oh, you didn't get them to lose.
Denver wasn't going to lose to Vegas.
No,
right? That was kind of the gimme game remaining for Denver. But then they go home against Green Bay, home against Jacksonville, who won again. Daniel Jones got hurt at KC,
which I don't even know.
Maybe isn't as difficult of a game as we thought. We'll get to them in a moment, and then the Chargers to finish out the year. So,
and that might be a play. That might be for the Chargers a game to play in. I mean, Green Bay's fighting for seeding and spots. Jacksonville, like, those are four potential playoff teams. Now, Kansas City maybe not, but like I'll say potential. The other three are in, right? So it's just on paper, Denver should lose at least one more. Patriots, you know, I think we'll see what happens on Sunday. I'm not really all that worried about the Baltimore game. We're getting ahead a little bit. I'm not worried about that. I would lump them in with Miami and the Jets, honestly.
They're now 6-7. They lost to Pittsburgh, and they didn't look good. And Isaiah Likely, again, just can't seem to – he had a touchdown earlier in the game, but he fumbled the week before. He couldn't hold on to the one yesterday, which was controversial, and stuff that we'll get into here today. But to your point about Denver, Denver beat Vegas. The Broncos have clinched any two-way tiebreaker. So it's just the Patriots and the Broncos tied at the end of the year. 13-4, 14-3, whatever, 15-2. Any two-way tiebreaker with New England for playoff seeding based on the better record against common opponent. The Pats lost to the Raiders week one.
It's crazy.
The Broncos are 2-0 against the Raiders. So in a head-to-head tiebreaker with the Broncos, that week one game is looming large to come back and bite the Patriots for a bye week in the postseason, potentially. You got to finish ahead of Denver down the stretch, and the schedule does favor you for that outside of this game against Buffalo this weekend. Mike Vrabel was asked about, well, his comments about champions never being satisfied last week.
Mm-hmm.
He took that to this weekend's game against the Buffalo Bills. Mike Vrabel joins the Greg Hill Show every Patriots Monday throughout the year. Brought to you by Northeastern Savings Bank, the leading financial option for New England businesses and the families that power them. Go to Northeastern Savings Bank to upgrade local, member DIF-FDIC. Again, this is Mike Vrabel talking about his champions comment from last week and applying it to this weekend's game against the Bills.
Well, that's what we're playing for. We're playing for a championship this week. Each week you have a new opportunity, a new message, and you know, this is a championship week for us, an opportunity to win the AFC East, something that this team hasn't done in 5 years, or the Buffalo has done it 5 years in a row. So, you know, to do that, there's, you know, you have to go out and play a certain way, and you have to do things and continue to improve. And so we didn't start and say, oh, we're going to win the Super Bowl in November, or then in November. It's not that. It's just conversations that I have with the team to try to focus on things that we need to try to do and want to do, and understand that this is a great opportunity for us this week here at home. And, you know, since the last time we've played, they've changed, we've changed. Hopefully it's going to be a fantastic game. You know, that team's not going away. They have a quarterback who is an MVP quarterback that under any circumstances is going to be ready to either win the football game with whatever running or throwing that he has to do. And then whenever they need a play, he seems to make it.
Okay. That's Vrabel this morning on the Greg Hill Show. Again, if you missed any of it, Odyssey app, AUDACY, get it on your phone, free, easy. Take it with you wherever you go. You won't miss any of our content here at WEEI, including a second of Jones and Keith. We said this last week, Keith. I like that Vrabel doesn't shy away from this. He's like, No, this is a championship game this weekend. We're back from the bye week. Ready to work. The team should be ready to work. It's a championship-level game. We're not going to hide from it. I like that about Vrabel, and I like that he's been doing that pretty much all year.
Yeah, and also he has the gravitas to say, you know, this is what champions do. Because he can't be like, well, what do you know about being a champion? He's like, oh, I don't know, I've won 3 Super Bowls. He's like, oh, yeah, that's right. You do know what it takes. So it's not just like lip service or something that sounds good. You know, he really means it, and you can tell the players buy into it. That's something that we've noticed pretty early on in the season. Like, these guys completely buy in. When he says stuff, they listen. They're all going in the same direction. So, yeah, it's been amazing to see the turnaround, and it's all led by Vrabel, and kind of whatever he says, the team is fully on board with, and they support. And you get it. You can see why.
I think that this is going to be something we obviously are focused on all week long. It's a massive, massive game. Bigger for the Bills than the Patriots, but a big one, no doubt. So again, you can talk about it all day long here. 617-779-7937 all week long here on Jones and Keith. Few texts coming in, and then I want to get to the Chiefs briefly.
Yes.
Here we go. The Patriots could use some adversity. A loss wouldn't be the worst thing.
Ooh. Well, this isn't the 07, Pats. It's not like they haven't had a loss. They lost twice.
You did apply this logic a little bit to Aroldis Chapman, though. You wanted him to get one of those out of the way. You don't feel that way about this team?
No, Chapman had a scoreless inning streak, which was insane, and you could just see it coming. You're like, he's going to give up a run in the playoffs. So, yeah, I stood by that. Honestly, I was not a lose in 07 guy, and I know a lot of people are, especially in hindsight, but I really wasn't.
I wasn't either.
This is different. Like, they've lost. Now they're winning. Keep winning. Like, I'm not like superstitious or anything to that degree.
And other than like where you stood in history, there was nothing bad about losing a game in 07 for the Pats. They were going to be the one seed.
Oh, they're going to be the one seed, right? Good point. This is also different.
This could actually cost them the one seed. Text line is asking, guys, why is the playoff bye week so important? Here's the difference right now. You could be sitting at home, not having to play, or you could play on wild card weekend against what would right now be the Houston Texans at 8-5. Winners of 5 in a row.
No, thank you.
Beat the Chiefs last night. Beat up the Chiefs last night. No, thank you, like, is right, Keith. Like, I want
out of here with Houston.
I would pick the Patriots in that game, but I still want nothing to do with that. That defense is menacing. Mahomes had 10 straight incompletions last night.
Dude, their winning streak,
he threw 3 picks,
includes Jacksonville, Buffalo, Indianapolis, and Kansas City. Yeah. Like, they're ridiculous. So, yeah, I'm good on playing them in the first round. I think because all these teams are so close, just one less game, I mean, it's pretty self-explanatory why you'd want to skip that. Plus, you would also lock up home field throughout, right? So that means, let's say you win your wild card weekend game or whatever. All right, now you got to go to Denver potentially for the AFC title game? No. Play here.
You want that game here. You don't want that game in Denver. So I think, the bye week is not the end-all be-all, but the Patriots should be, especially given what they have left on the schedule versus what Denver has left on the schedule. They should be angling for that. They should want that.
Also, as an added thing, every team's dealing with this, but for the Patriots specifically, even if they get them back, give Will Campbell, Jared Wilson, Milton Williams, all these guys like an extra week off. So, yeah, I think it's pretty obvious.
Chiefs are dead now, right?
Yeah.
I think we've kind of danced around it.
Now,
I'm not like danced around it. Well, it is over. They cannot win the AFC West for the first time in 9 years, I think it is. They can't win the division.
Amazing.
So that is done. I think they're done. I think they're done.
Mahomes, well, what is it? They have to win out and somebody has to lose out?
Yeah.
That was done.
I think the team they can catch, if I understand it right, is the Chargers.
So they do play them this week.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. So, like, the Chargers, I think, have to be catchable based on the math. They can't catch Denver. They don't hold a head-to-head tiebreaker with Buffalo or Houston now. They do have it with the Colts, but the Colts are outside of the playoffs, and they're not getting back in without Daniel Jones.
I'm pissed I didn't make that bet. I got too scared. It was +240 for the Colts to miss the playoffs, but then I was looking at the Chargers' schedule, and I'm like, well, their schedule's really tough. And so I was, but like, yeah, right now, Chargers are in, Texans are in. Jaguars are leading that division. Steelers are now leading their division. So the teams that are just outside are the Colts at 8-5. But then there's a two-game drop-off to the Ravens, Chiefs, and Dolphins. The Dolphins have the same record as the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Is another great stat.
I mean, they're right there. I mean, they're closer to what? I mean, they're closer to the Bengals and the Jets and teams like that than they are teams like the Broncos and the Patriots.
No, I would say that's it. Kind of going out with a whimper. Like, it's not even going to be a bad playoff loss or anything. They're not even going to make the playoffs because they do have two very easy games. They have Tennessee and Vegas left to go. Kansas City does. So that gets them to 7 wins. But then L.A. Chargers and the Denver Broncos, I don't know, maybe they split that? Maybe? So, I mean, at best they could be 10-7. And 10-7 probably gets you in. But I don't think they're going 10-7.
I don't either.
Doesn't look like it.
I don't think they're running the table and going 10-7. That was a costly loss for them. And again, what are the stakes between the bye week and not? That Texans team that I want nothing to do. 10 straight incompletions from Mahomes.
Yeah.
3 picks last night from Mahomes. Some of them were on him. I don't know what the defense did on some of those arm punts from Mahomes. But in general, I mean, that's a team you do not want to play. I'd pick you against Houston, but I don't want that matchup. Give me the Chargers. If the Colts somehow found their way in, by all means, give me that team. Like, you know, even Buffalo I'd rather have than the way Houston's playing, although I guess I reserve the right to change my mind based on Sunday against Buffalo.
Houston can still win that division, too. They're one game back at Jacksonville, and then it doesn't mean you wouldn't play them in the divisional round, depending on the seedings, but they might be able to knock off Jacksonville. But, yeah, Houston looks pretty intense. And we tried to warn you. That was really the one takeaway from the Jones and Keefe standings.
That's all we stumbled onto.
Like, they're better than, like, the Chargers and whatever teams that had a better record than them. We're like, yeah, watch out for them.
The Jones and Keefe standings were the same as the actual standings three or 4 weeks ago whenever we did it, except for Houston. We said, watch out for that team.
They just ripped off three of the most impressive wins all season.
And since then, all anybody says is watch out for that team. So don't say the Jones and Keefe standings have no influence.
That's right.
It was
very significant.
It was a lot of math,
yep.
A lot of time spent that we'll never get back, but we did learn that before most people. We'll get to your phone calls. 617-779-7937. Patriots Monday. Hunter Henry, Christian Ellis scheduled to join us here. We have what happened from week 14. We'll go in-depth on all the games from yesterday. We'll catch you up to speed on what maybe you missed. Billy Lanny with all the latest here in trending. And when we come back, does Drake May have a weakness? It turns out he really may not. We'll do that next.
No.
The exclusive home for Patriots Monday and Friday.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending Now is brought to you by the 99 Restaurants. The Boston Celtics are now winners of 5 in a row after yesterday's 121-113 victory over the Raptors in Toronto. Jaylen Brown led the way for the Celtics with 30 points, and Derek White scored 27 points. Nemus Kata contributed a double-double with 11 points and 11 rebounds. Season now off until Thursday night when they will return to the TD Garden to play the Milwaukee Bucks. The New England Patriots Patriots return from their bye week and are back on the practice field today at 12:15. The Pats will begin preparations for Sunday's matchup against the Buffalo Bills. The Bills are now 9-4 after yesterday's 39-34 win over the Cincinnati Bengals. Week 14 in the NFL will wrap up with the Monday Night Football matchup between the Philadelphia Eagles and the Los Angeles Chargers. You can hear the call of the game right here on 93.7. Westwood One's pregame coverage will begin at 7 o'clock and kickoff is at 8:15. And the Boston Bruins look to make it 3 wins in a row when the Bees return to the ice tomorrow night to host the St. Louis Blues. Your holiday plans just got tastier at the 99 Restaurant. Picture this: creamy, dreamy new lobster carbonara or satisfying new baked stuffed shrimp and lobster casserole. Celebrate big at the 99. You gotta love the nines. I'm Billy Lanny. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first 2 orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
So that was David Andrews on with our guy Taylor Kyles.
All right.
And Mike Kadlick on CLNS.
He was like, long answer, no.
I don't.
Like, that sounds like a short answer.
I don't want him to win MVP. I mean, I guess I understand. I
don't. That sounds like, that's like very superstitious. It's not even a little stitious.
No, it's
that's
too stitious even for you.
Right, because that's like, so you don't want the MVP just because there's a history of guys not winning the Super Bowl, even though we did see a guy 3 years ago win
just
both.
Just happened you in the last win 3 years, both. Yeah.
So like, are people going to, if Matthew Stafford wins the MVP, are people like, well, the Rams are cooked.
Rams are out.
And then flip side, like if Drake May wins, you'd be like, don't pick the Pats.
Do you
like,
think there's, I'm not doing that. But do you think there's anything to, for a younger quarterback especially, and like when Lamar first won it, maybe that's a good example of this. Is there anything to, now there is more of a target on this guy or more pressure on this guy? I mean, is there anything to that? I don't think with Brady late in his career in 2017, for
yeah,
instance,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think he could handle it at that point. Mm-hmm. He had won 5 Super Bowls or whatever it was. He had been to a million. But for a younger, in his second year, does that change the calculus, the stakes, the bullseye, the pressure, any of that?
Yeah, I don't think so. Like, I don't think Matt Ryan and Cam Newton didn't win the Super Bowl those years because they were named MVP. I mean, if Kyle Shanahan doesn't choke away the fourth quarter, the Falcons win that Super Bowl, right? Like, or maybe the Panthers weren't the better team when they played the Broncos. Like, I don't know. There was like a history of it, and then especially when it didn't happen for a little while, like, oh man, this is kind of a peculiar thing. But I don't know. Like in any sport, like, would you want the MVP or would you not? Like, yeah, I'll take the MVP, and then from there, because like I think
I'm rooting for him to win it.
But Drake May is also in the bucket of third overall pick. Great deal of expectations on him anyway. Like, I think you're going to have that, especially if they make the Super Bowl. Like, look at this year, like how it went from hey, maybe he can be like a middle of the pack quarterback to like, oh, he's already a top two or three quarterback. So he loses on a couple of votes to finish the second. There's not going to be like less, like the defenses aren't going to look at him like, oh, he's not even the MVP. You're going to look at him like, oh no, this guy had an unbelievable season. Let's try to humble him anyway.
I think it's fair. I wanted to win MVP. I think right now he should be MVP. I guess I didn't even look this morning. Stafford played. He didn't. Stafford won again. What do you have yesterday? Three touchdowns? I
mean, yeah.
Puka couldn't be stopped yesterday.
Puka was a machine. Yeah, Stafford, 281, three touchdowns, no picks. Yeah.
Stafford minus 180, Drake May plus 200.
Okay, so they're like, oh, wow, that's a big shift, actually. So they're
considering Drake May was minus 120, whatever.
No, well, he caught up to him in games played, yeah, and he's got way more touchdown passes than he does. He's on pace for a, like, what, 46 touchdown passes, which will Stafford is, which is
just to Davante Adams.
So yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Those are just as Davante Adams touchdown passes. So no, recently,
but if Drake May has a good game against Buffalo, for example, like that shoots him right back up there.
That's when he got in the MVP conversation the first time.
Yeah,
Reese had a stat over the weekend that I don't think is right.
So not stat of the week nominee.
May leads the NFL in passing yards, completion percentage, and passer rating. I don't think May leads in passing yards, and I think after games yesterday, I don't know if he's still a top in the other two, but I don't think he leads in passing yards.
He does not. Dak Prescott does.
So if he finishes number one in all those categories, so
passer rating, he is also behind Stafford.
Okay, and then completion percentage, is he still leading that?
Completion percentage, he is. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. One for three.
Don't put in Snoop Huntley.
Not Snoop Huntley.
One for three.
Yeah, Drake May won
but
on that.
If he happened to lead the NFL in all of those categories at the end of the year, it would join Brady in 07, Warner in 01, and then near Hall of Famer Ken Anderson in 74 is the only quarterbacks to do that since the merger.
Yeah, so honestly, I don't love that. Like, what would the quarterback triple crown be to you? Wouldn't it be yards, touchdowns, and either completion percentage or rating? Probably completion percentage. Because, like, rating already includes all those things. I mean, leave rating out.
Probably yards, touchdown, completion percentage.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah, yeah. So, he doesn't include touchdowns in there, which Drake May is currently fourth in the league. He has 23, but Stafford is 35. And Stafford has fewer picks. So, like, I'm not trying to make the case for Stafford here. I'm just saying, like, if you're basing it on statistics.
Like a Stafford
kind of. Well, kind of. I mean, if you're basing it off that. Now, Drake May's team has a better record. Drake May's team is more out of nowhere, right? So if you want to lean towards that, like more of a surprise type season. And he has a chance to, if they win the division and they're the number one seed, I would say, now let's see what the Rams do, I guess. Maybe they could also theoretically be the number one seed.
Yeah, they can.
So if they're both the number one seed, maybe you kind of side towards the guy with the better stats. But that's one where maybe the stats won't win it. If Drake May's sitting there at 14-3 and has a first round bye, then like I'd happily give it to him.
Yeah, Rams are sitting there the 10-3 now.
The also difference is Matt Stafford has negative. We got that. Oh, that's clean. Matt Stafford negative 10 rushing yards. Drake May 319.
Ooh, good one.
That's
a good pro Drake May stat.
And that's if you take out all the kneel downs from Drake May. Reese was also doing this. You take that out. He's actually over 5 yards a pop, and that's
1,000 yards rushing.
A much better number. Yeah. So no, I'm rooting for him to win the MVP.
Yep.
You are going to hear from people like that. And David Andrews is apparently one of them who says, I don't want him to win MVP. I think we got a better shot of winning, the Pats, winning if he doesn't win MVP.
Interesting.
Now, don't show him these numbers.
Uh-oh.
Phil Perry wrote about this over the weekend, trying to identify like a blueprint to expose Drake May or chip away at a weakness of Drake May. The later we get in the year, are there teams that are going to attack May a certain way? And it turns out he really does not have a weakness. So shorthand, Phil went through all these different numbers. This is EPA since week 6.
Okay.
Okay. So expected points added. It's an advanced analytic, but just pay attention to the rank. When he's blitzed.
I was going to say, he's real good at this.
Teams bring an extra rusher. He's fifth in the league.
Yeah.
When he's not blitzed, he's first.
Oh, against, I thought it was flipped. At one point, I thought it was flipped. I thought he was like the best against the blitz. But so, either way,
he's top five quarterback. Yeah. When you blitz him, when you don't blitz him. Against zone, first. Against man, eighth. Against two high coverage, first. Against single high coverage, first.
Right.
So you can throw a variety of different things against him. You can blitz him. You cannot.
Blitz him and play man.
You should blitz
him
and
really
play.
Really your only chance.
Blitz him and play man. He's somewhere between the fifth and eighth best quarterback as opposed to the first and everything
else. If you play zone and don't blitz, forget it. You might as well just put your helmet down.
Game over.
Yeah, it's not happening.
And so, you know, you'd think maybe there would be a weakness, an avenue where defenses could attack him more, a blueprint, as Phil wrote, to really get after him. And it turns out there really hasn't been one. And there was a little bit of buzz about this after the Bengals game. And then you saw the way the Giants came out and played. I don't know how much stock you could put into that. But the Bengals gave Drake May some issues. We'll see if that winds up being a blueprint for other teams to follow. It certainly wasn't from the Giants. The Bills are going to be the first team he's faced twice in a year. So what kind of adjustments do they make, meaning in this season, his MVP caliber season? First team he's facing a second time. We'll see if they make any adjustments. But based on that quick shorthand metric from Phil, there's no real blueprint to attack him.
Yeah, and he's a guy that will throw to every single receiver they have. Like, that's another thing that stands out. And that was also an early Tom Brady thing. Like, before he got Welker and Moss and Gronk and Edelman, he would throw to everybody.
Right.
Like,
even, even if you can't attack him, you could take away his best guy.
Right. You're like, oh, let's take this guy away. It's like, all right, Drake May will throw to the tight ends. He'll throw to the running backs. He'll throw to each and every wide receiver. See Kyle Williams getting another touchdown last week. Like, that was it the, I think it was the last game. Seven different receivers had three or more catches, and then an eighth receiver had a touchdown. So, like, yeah, really difficult to defend him. You went through the numbers, like, zone or man doesn't seem to matter. Blitz, no blitz doesn't seem to matter. And then, you know, there have been other times where teams would come in. I always think of the Houston Texans when they would come to town and in the playoffs, like, oh, they had a nice little season. And the Patriots would find a way, and credit to Belichick for this, they would take J.J. Watt out of the game and they would take DeAndre Hopkins out of the game. And they're like, all right, what else do you have?
Figure it out.
The team's like, we don't have anything else. We literally got here with these two guys and that's it. Patriots, in that sense, now don't get me wrong, I would happily take Puka Nacua. I would happily take Jackson Smith and Jigba. But one thing that you can have, I guess, that can work to your advantage is if you don't, they don't, like, all right, pick who you want to double or not double or whatever. Like Drake May can drop back and he'll throw to anybody.
Right. Take away Diggs. He's going to throw Booty and our guy Hunter Henry or whatever. Take those guys away. He's going to focus on Diggs. And no, that probably is another avenue where you can't beat this team right now.
Right. Like, they might not. We were talking a lot about Diggs and what he would need to get to 1,000 yards. They might not have a 1,000-yard receiver again, but they might have a top 10 offense. Or, like, find me a team that does that. Like, that's pretty strange. Like, right now they have the 7th most points scored and they're 8th in yards. So a true top 8 offense, let's call it. Yards, points, like they're doing both. The last couple of years, bottom of the league. So yeah, no kidding they didn't have a 1,000-yard receiver. They also didn't score any points. Like, they didn't move the ball.
They had no yards.
They didn't have any yards. They didn't have any passing yards. They didn't have anything. So yeah, this is a completely different season.
So what is the weakness for May? Does one exist? I guess technically, as Keith said, you want to blitz him a little bit and play man. That's probably your best bet. But he's still been a top 5, top 10 quarterback against those metrics as well. So no real blueprint to take down Drake sitting here through the first 14 weeks of the year with Pats and Bills on deck. We talked a lot about some of yesterday's games earlier in the show. Our pal Mark in Medford wants to weigh in on Kansas City. Go ahead, Mark.
I think we can finally put to rest the comparisons between Mahomes and the Chiefs and Brady and the Patriots, and I'll tell you why. At least after the Patriots championship dynasty was over, it took 10 years to win another one. But within that span, they've had winning records and gone to the playoffs. The Chiefs just completely just crapped themselves and died. So I have a question for Mahomes and the Chiefs.
Sure.
What happened?
Oh, it's a good question, Mark. That's a good question.
Good question. Now,
It's not over, but this is a big feather in the Patriots' cap if the Chiefs miss the playoffs. That's a big one for them.
Yeah. Now, just for, like, the whole picture, like, we've seen Tom Brady's entire career, right? And I think one of the things that was going to be nearly impossible for anybody to duplicate would be just 20-plus years, because let's include the Bucs years, too. Like, just 20-plus years of being one of the best quarterbacks in the league. Tom Brady did miss the playoffs his second year in the league. Mahomes, to this point, had only been in the conference championship. And that's why, if you were just comparing the first 7 years or whatever Mahomes has been in the league since 18. So first, like, 7-8 years, it was actually a better pace than Brady with the MVPs, playoff advancements and all these things. But now when you're like, all right, you're missing the playoffs and you're healthy for the whole season, right? Because the only healthy season Brady missed the playoffs was
0-2. That's it.
Right? You don't hold anything else against them. So now they both have that, but it's clearly trending in the wrong direction. And what will sort of the second half of his career look like? We don't know. Because, like, Travis Kelce's probably either not coming back next year, and if he does, like, what's that going to look like? Andy Reid, it's not like he's going to have one head coach the whole time. Mahomes is going to have to figure it out with like another whole roster at some point. Not a new team. I just mean like a whole like a bunch of teammates.
And it doesn't mean he can't. But no, look,
it's a tough go.
I disagree with Mark. It's not done. No. I mean, the Chiefs could still make the playoffs this year. Like, we don't know that yet. So I'm saying I think they're done this year, but I'm not saying the whole Patriots Chiefs comparison is done. I don't believe that.
It's over.
But
like, Mahomes made more Super Bowls in the first 7 years than Brady and won the same number. But if you're talking about the first 7 years.
It could be done. I mean, this could be the beginning of it. I'm not arguing that. I'm just saying to say it definitively. And I would say in the Patriots' favor, if the Chiefs are 8-9 at the end of the year and miss the playoffs, or even 9-8 and miss the playoffs, that's a big, big, big check for the Patriots compared to Kansas City when you're measuring it up. You mentioned Reed. We even talked about this.
Uh-huh.
That decision to go for it on fourth down just lost him the game last night.
Yeah, I don't know what he's doing.
I don't either.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't know.
You watched that last night. The way their defense was playing and the way Stroud was playing, why give Houston any life there?
I don't know.
Like,
yeah,
I get having faith in Mahomes and your offense, and I get all that. But then the way their defense, the way Chris Jones came out in the second half of that game yesterday, to just all of a sudden say, we're going to give Stroud and the Texans the ball at wherever it was, the 31. We're just going to give them the ball there. Was crazy.
They weren't really doing much with it.
They weren't doing anything.
They weren't doing much with it. Trust me. Houston and Denver are pretty similar, aren't they? Because I might even like Knicks more than Stroud.
Oh, I think
you like Stroud more?
Well, no. I
like Knicks a little bit more.
I think the way they're playing, you have to give the edge to Knicks.
Yeah.
You have to.
I think so. But like two teams, they got the young quarterbacks, although young in quotes on Bo Nix. He's way older than you would think. But like young-ish quarterbacks, but just dominant defenses. And like, are they going to be like, how far can either of them go? And you thought, all right, here's Kansas City. They got to get things in gear here. A home game, even though Houston's good, it's a home game. You know, your life on the line here, and they put up 10 total points in the game.
Rough. Not going to get it done. 617-779-7937. All your phone calls there. On a Patriots Monday with Jones and Keith, Mark and Medford teed it up well. What happened? Coming your way at 11:30, so stay tuned for it. It's a Week 14 recap
what
for you.
What happened?
Thank you, Mark. That is a real clean one. Get that in there. Nice. We will get to the Patriots rookie class and how it stacks up with other past draft classes coming up next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you, so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you, and everyone on your list, at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores, or DSW.com.
I'll tell you what, this is the second clip today we've played. This one from Greg Bedard, the other earlier from David Andrews. Where we're just delivering the message on behalf of the other.
Yeah.
It's David Andrews, he says, he doesn't want Drake May winning the MVP. Don't yell at us about this.
Okay? I would like him to win it.
This is David Andrews, you can go yell at. Uh-huh. Go direct your anger towards him. I would say the same about Greg Bedard. Bedard's the one saying he wants Will Campbell to kick inside to guard. And he might be a Pro Bowl tackle, but he could be a Hall of Fame level guard. That's Bedard saying that. That's not don't get mad at us for saying Will Campbell might still be a guard.
Let's leave him a tackle.
That's him.
Yeah, he's been pretty good at tackle. I know he's hurt right now, but I would say, you know, the Myles Garrett game, obviously not ideal. Was it the Pittsburgh game? Not great, but whatever. He's a rookie. I didn't expect it to be perfect. They took him, and compared to some of the other guys, maybe they could have taken. I think they got that pick right, and I think I'm not moving him. I didn't want to use the fourth pick of the draft on a guard. And then it's a lot easier said than done to just get that tackle. Like he says in that clip, like, kick him in and get like a really athletic tackle. Where? Ronnie Stanley? Sorry, he got signed somewhere else. If you do it in the draft again, you're going to have to use like a top 10 pick. Those players aren't just available for you. And then if you're trying to get like Laremy Tunsil, who's been traded a bunch in his career, you're trading a first round pick or really high picks for it. So I don't know. Like, so far, to me, so good for Campbell. He looks like he's going to be the one of one, the guy with the super short arms that can play left tackle.
And I agree with you and not with Greg. If Bedard thinks he can be a Pro Bowl tackle,
that's pretty damn good.
Why are you moving?
I don't know.
Like, I don't get it. But so that did trigger something in my head, Keith, where is that just Greg grinding tape or did he hear something? Like, does the team still kind of view him as... Well, actually, his best fit is at guard.
Yeah.
And Wilson is at best the center.
Well, they want to slide everybody over, I guess.
If we could really get a left tackle to kick Campbell inside and Wilson over, now we're really cooking with guys. That's really what we want. And I just wonder if he heard something. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
But that's a weird thing to kind of pluck out of nowhere. Like, geez, this guy who I think could be a Pro Bowl or a tackle maybe should kick to guard. None of us are saying that. That's
although,
weird.
I don't remember. Was this a take of his in the draft process?
I don't recall.
See, because sometimes it's that, right? Like, if there's a guy that you like or dislike.
You're trying to justify your priors.
Yeah, you gotta stick with it. Yeah. Like, I liked Bo Nix, so he keeps winning. Might be kind of ugly, but I'm like, look, he's winning. Right. The guy's good, right? Right. He's winning. He's like, yeah, he's kind of not great.
I like Justin Fields. I was still trying to make that happen until like, you know, October 15th.
It's over. Yeah. I think we're all pulling the plug on that.
We'll see in the offseason. Let's see where he lands.
He's not going to land anywhere. He might be in, like, the Arena League.
Let's see where that goes.
Great. But no, I think you got to be pretty satisfied with Campbell. I mean, right now it's just injury, and like you want to see him back out there. But for the time that we have seen him out there, he looks like he's holding his own as a left guard. How about this? Maybe not Hall of Fame because that might kind of tip the scales. Would you rather have a Pro Bowl left tackle or an All Pro left guard?
Oh, I'd rather have the Pro Bowl tackle.
Same,
yeah,
same Pro. I mean, that's one of the six best tackles in football. Eight best tackles, I guess, if you include like both sides and replacements and everything else in the Pro Bowl. Like, that's pretty great. That's a big hit.
So I just wonder what their internal view of Will Campbell is after hearing that.
Yeah, from April 10th, Bedard said that Will Campbell will start a tackle this year and at worst have an All-Pro. So
maybe you're on to it. Maybe that's what
he was already sort of pointing out. Like, that's, so he's just sticking by his
maybe
original
he's
take.
Just sticking to his priors. Okay. Then there's this. You saw the stat, Keith, on Monday Night Football last week. We spent some time talking about this. It was an entry, I think, for Stat of the Week.
Okay.
Patriots are getting a lot of snaps out of their rookie class, second only to the Cleveland Browns. And then you look at other teams that are playing a lot of rookies. It's the Jets, the Titans, the Browns, and the Pats. The Pats are the team that really stands out. They have Drake May. Those other teams don't. They have Mike Vrabel. Those other teams don't. They have a strong rookie class. Mike Reese had a line in here. He says, since owner Robert Kraft purchased the team in 1994, there are not many rookie classes that have matched up with this year's top-to-bottom contributions. He then writes the 95 class that produced cornerback Ty Law, linebacker Ted Johnson, and running back Curtis Martin. Two-thirds of that is all over WEEI.
I mean, two-thirds of that is also in the Hall of Fame.
Good call. Jimmy Hitchcock and Dave Wollabaugh were also in that class. Hitchcock was a corner. Wollabaugh was a center, I believe.
That's a pretty insane class.
O-lineman. So, I mean, that's the next class he brings up. That feels like a real lofty comparison for this one based on, as you just said, Hall of Fame, high-end talent in that class versus this one.
Yeah, not to just have a big, bold take here on a Monday morning, but I would guess zero Hall of Famers from this class.
How many future WEEI contributors?
Oh, hopefully a bunch.
Probably a plethora. Probably a good amount. To Jones and Keefe in 15 years, we'll be talking to, you know, Andy Borgalis or something
100%.
Like that.
100%. Yeah. You know, it's funny. A couple weeks ago when we were looking at the draft class overall, we were saying there might not be the high end. And we didn't even go back to 95, right? I think we were going more kind of Belichick era.
Yeah,
but,
correct.
2010's class was Devin McCourty, Rob Gronkowski, and then you had Cunningham and Spike, so at least played. Aaron Hernandez. You drafted a punter in there, right? So if you're going to give credit to the kicker for this year, you had a punter in Zoltan Mesko that year. So then, you know, a few guys that didn't really hit, but like you had high end players. I mean, Devin McCourty, his rookie year was a Pro Bowl corner. Mm-hmm. And Gronk, it was his second year, was like the real breakout year, but his first year, he was still like clearly very, very good. This class, though, is really impressive because you have two starting offensive linemen. You have a starting safety. You have a running back who has shown great flashes the last handful of games. You have a receiver that's sprinkled in for a couple of touchdowns. And the starting kicker. Like, you've gotten impact from a ton of rookies. So maybe not quite the high end of even a Chandler Jones, Dante Hightower. Those guys had a really good rookie year, both first-round picks. But then you kind of fell off after those guys.
Here's my hope for the draft class. Not 95, not even 2010 and 2012 like you were saying. My hope is it's the 2003 class. And that had probably more contributors on defense. This is more offensive heavy. But that was Ty Warren, Eugene Wilson, Bethel Johnson, Dan Klecko, Asante Samuel, Dan Copen. And then later on you got Tully Bantekain.
That's good. Yeah, that's good.
That didn't have a ton of like... I mean, did Ty Warren make a Pro Bowl at one point? Maybe.
Ty Warren,
Asante Samuel definitely did. Asante Samuel wasn't as big of a contributor
Samuel
on that team, but turned into
Ty
that
Warren
kind of player.
Didn't, but he was always very good.
So, you know, that to me is the hope. And that was a draft class contributing to a champion. That was a draft class contributing to a Super Bowl winner. That's kind of my hope for this class. You get a lot out of all those guys. What is Craig Woodson? I don't know.
Yeah, the eraser.
What's Josh Farmer? Yeah. You know, what's Kyle Williams going to be? My hope is all those guys are contributing to a championship.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the draft class that I have dog-eared for it. But this one stacks up very well.
It's very good.
With some of those Belichick classes and really the entire tenure of Robert Kraft. 617-779-7937. We have What Happened coming up at 11:30. Full recap of Week 14. It's Patriots Monday. We expect to talk to Hunter Henry and Christian Ellis as well. Expect to talk to those guys
TBD.
Today. And then we'll also get into the winter meetings, which are underway in Orlando. We're going to talk to Brad Foe later this week. What's the latest winter meetings buzz as it relates to the Red Sox? That's next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/tiktokads, and grow your business fast.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.